I'm reading in the Old Testament at the moment, and it talks about where a child was born, and where a firstborn of any animal that had to be given to the Lord. And I was just thinking about it. It's actually amazing now with the new covenant that we don't only give the firstborn, but we give all our children. We give them to the Lord. We give everything to God, because God is amazing. God is really amazing. So I just want to pray for us, just for my sermon as well. Lord, I really believe this word, God, is from you. And I ask that it will be a revelation, Lord, to many of us, God, that we really can come to that place of becoming overcomers in Christ Jesus, Lord. We ask you, Lord God, that you bless every person in this place, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I had a word to overcome, that God has called us to overcome. So I went to the Bible to see what it means, where it's set. And this is one specific word where overcoming has been, that is translated as overcome. Nikal is the Greek name, and it's probably not how you pronounce it. I've got it wrong. I know I do. So if you know Greek, that's not how you pronounce it, I think. But it means to overcome, to conquer, to have victory. And I believe for us as Christians, we're not called to be the tail. We are called to overcome in everything that we do. And, you know, many times we go through tough times and we go like, and you get knocked down and you go like, I can't hear any. And that's not what God wants from us. He wants us to overcome. And I'm going to share a message. I'm going to call Facing the Giants. Yesterday I was spending time in the Word. And I was reading about the Nephilim, and the sons of Anak, who were descendants of Nephilim. So, and I realized that all these people that the Israelites were meant to overcome were giants, huge, huge, huge creatures. So it wasn't like tiny little guys that they had to overcome. It was these huge giants. And God wants us to overcome. So when we're talking about overcoming, you immediately think about war and people that don't like one another, that comes against one another, and then immediately you go, oh, Satan, and now you go, oh, it's going to be one of those sermons. But Romans 12, verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome with evil, and that's that word, do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil by being good. So our focus is on God. It's on the goodness of God, the promises of God. We must focus on who God is, and just everything about God, everything that He wants for us. So we focus on what God wants us to do. We don't focus on what the devil and what the Satanist and what all these things or people are happening. We must understand that all people are loved by God. God loves everyone. Doesn't matter where you are, if you're a pedophile, if you even murdered your own child, God loves that person. God's heart is for all people. God has an intense love for all people. And you will see that our warfare is the goodness of God, that we hold on to that. 1 Timothy 6 verse 11 says, but for you, O man, flee these things. It's all these evil things. Flee those things. Pursue righteousness. You must pursue godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. That's what God wants us to do. We must fight the good fight of faith. So we're focusing on our faith being built. Faith is believing the things that we cannot see, looking at the promises of God, looking at what the Word is saying. And this is what we need to grow, that our faith don't get stolen from us, that we don't come to a place where we doubt that God is good and that God's heart is for me to bless me and to prosper me, that we take hold of eternal life, that we know every decision that we do here on earth will reflect how we're going to spend eternity. Our life is not here only. Here determines how we're going to spend eternity. And this is what Timothy here is saying. Don't focus on the evil, but focus on eternal life. That we stand in the end, that we overcome, that God has called us to overcome. But there is a war. And if you go to Revelation 12, I just want to share a little bit to you about how it works. Now war rose in heaven. Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. And there was no longer place, no longer any place for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers have been thrown down, who accuses them day and night. So here in Revelation we can see there was a war, Satan and his angels. And previously it talks about in Revelation 12 that there was a tail of a third of the stars and many people. And I believe it's probably true that it was a third of the angels that were taking side with Satan. And they were kicked out of heaven. And now we're sitting with the dragon or the serpent, and you can see that on earth many people worship the dragon still. You can see the guys in martial arts, for example, the people from the east, they always have dragons on their emblems. Or you can go to Wales and you see there's a great dragon on that flag as well. So somewhere there was probably dragons somewhere, but the theme of dragons and snakes is all over. Now, I'm not going to say snakes are evil because all things are created by God, but Satan used that as a symbol to bring glory to his kingdom. But we can know that salvation has come. We can know that there's power in God, in Christ Jesus. God is much stronger than Satan. And listening to people who have come out of the occult, listening to testimonies, whenever they met Jesus, I've shared with you about this general butt naked guy. When he met Jesus, Jesus stood behind him when he was going to do a sacrifice of a baby. And after that, he just knew that this man in white was just so much more powerful than what he had ever encountered. And his life changed because of that. And he became a Christian. He's now an evangelist that tells people. So we can know that the God that we serve is the most powerful God that there is. There's the kingdom of God, and that we have authority in Christ Jesus. The devil comes to accuse. And I just want to say here, for us as believers, we must pray. We mustn't accuse one another. That's the devil's job. He accuses, we must love. We must pray. Now Revelation 12:11 says, and they, it's the evil ones, Christians or the believers, have conquered him, that is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives even unto death. So the victory is because of the cross of Christ. When Jesus said, it is finished, it is done, that is the victory that we have. So when we believe, we can know that we believe in God. He gives us the strength. He gives us the strength to overcome in that place. Because we become believers, we become children of God, and we can stand in that place. The second one is the word of our testimonies. And that is why it's so important for us to share the goodness of God. What has God done in my life? We give testimony of how we got saved. How we live is part of our testimony. What we do, what we say, and what we pronounce is our testimony. So the devil was overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. And then the third one, they did not love their lives unto the end. So there's a place where we have to surrender, deny ourselves, pick up our cross. And this is probably the most difficult one out of experience, because you don't want to die, to live. And that's so difficult. And a long time ago, he was sharing about this man hanging from a cliff on a bronze. And he was screaming. He's like, God, send someone to help me. God, send someone to help me. And then this huge angel came, and he was flying in the air, just below him. And he said, let go, and I will catch you. And this man looked down and he said, God, send someone else to help me. And this is what we are. We don't want to let go so that we can walk into the fullness of what God had called us for. Now, then it says, therefore rejoice because of this victory, because we have conquered, because we've overcome. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, that you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. There is a devil, and he is a powerful being. He's not all powerful. God is all powerful. And he came down in great wrath, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And for us as believers, we cannot be blinded to these things. We have to understand that there is a place in Christ where is our protection. But outside of it, there's no protection. And this is where we can be taken out. When I was preparing for my sermon, there was two people that came to see me. And the one said to me, you know, there's someone in our church that he wants to change. They must come to the Lord. And it, basically, if I can't go and reach out to that person. And I heard him out. And then I said, but it's your responsibility. You must pray for that person. And I started encouraging him to have relationship with God. And then when it came to the big question, do you read the Bible? Yes, yes, I do. But I read Joseph Prince and I read Joel Osteen. I said, that's fantastic, but do you read the Bible? He said, yes, I do. I read Joel Osteen and I read, because they write about the Bible. And I said, that doesn't work. You must read the word for yourself. And I got a word. I share the word with him. And he's like, wow. And it was so spot on for him. And he said, but I actually want, can you give me more words like that? I said, yes, here it is. There's a whole book full of it. You must just read it. And it must become part of you. And that was the one. And then the other one was a man that came to me. He got saved a number of years ago. He's been baptized. But he was in the occult, I think in Satanism, for about 30 years. And he says, now he's in a place where all this stuff are coming back. And he's really, there's stuff that is happening. And as I was preparing my message, the Holy Spirit, actually just what I ministered to him is basically what I want to share with you this morning. That we focus on good. Because now for me, I want to know astral projection and all those things like these questions that I have that I know is happening and that I want you to know. But the Holy Spirit just said to me, focus on the goodness of God. Focus on who I am. Focus on me. And then God showed me this man's heart. And I saw that God intensely loved this man. And that man, this man is a good man. And God loved him. And it was to me, that was such a revelation of God's love for this man. And that God wants him to be with him. And he doesn't want the forces of darkness to take him away from him. Because of this intense love that God has for this man. And I just know that God loves all of us people. Revelation 17 says that 14, they, the enemy will come and make war on the Lamb. And the Lamb will conquer them. The Lamb will overcome them. For he's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That is our God. He's the Lord of Lords and he's the King of Kings. And we serve a wonderful God, a mighty, powerful God. And we can come to him and surrender to him. And then he says, and with them, this is us. We are the chosen and we are the faithful. God has called us to be, he chose us and we are the faithful. And he calls us the faithful. Now, when we talk about these things, many people go, it was only for those days. But in, I'm missing my projector there. We apologize for that. In Luke 11, Jesus was walking with the people and there was a man who was a mute. He couldn't speak. So Jesus cast out the demon and it left and the man spoke. And everyone goes like, wow, praise Jesus. He's amazing. And there was many people who were upset because how he could do that. And I just want to say to you, maybe if you're uncomfortable about this, the demons never dies. They're still around because they are eternal. They are spirit beings. They are not from this world. They are eternally. So because it was there, you can know it's still here. And you know, you can see they are still here. So, but there were people who were upset about this. And they were saying, but Jesus, he's casting out this demon in the name of Beelzebul, the prince of demons. And Jesus, hearing their thoughts, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. Jesus says, if Satan is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? How will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul, but if you cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? And some people think Beelzebul is just another name for Satan. I believe it's not that way. I believe it's just another evil demon, a ruler, that is almost the same strength as Satan. And that what they were thinking was that Jesus was in, that this Beelzebul was giving Jesus the authority to cast out demons out of Satan's kingdom. And then Jesus says this very important thing. Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste. A divided household falls. A house that's divided against itself cannot stand. And this is this principle that God is really speaking to us about unity. That a house that stays, or that prays together, stays together. That husband and wife, God has called us to be in unity. If we are not in unity, the household will fall. It will collapse. It cannot stand. When you're in a business environment, if the leaders of that business is in unity, it will stand. If it is division, it will break. One of the young guys came to intercession, and they were talking about unity in a small group, and they said that night he slept only 2 hours because something jumped upon him, and it was suffocating him, and he knew he had to come to intercession. So to me, that was another confirmation of what God wanting to say. But I believe for us as Christians, we must come to that place of unity, because if us as believers cannot come into unity, we as a house cannot stand. We cannot stand. And we get drawn open, and we open ourselves to get hurt. And the fullness of what God has called us for cannot happen because there's an open door. Because we, and unity, you will see, it will always go with much talk against people. Because you're upset and your heart is not happy, but then you speak against one another, and it causes us to break apart. And churches have broken apart because of this thing, because of this principle that people have not understood the importance of being united in Christ, in the Spirit. And you don't have to be in unity with me, but we come into unity with Christ, what God wants us to do. Now, then Jesus says in verse 20, "But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you by the finger of God." Derek Prince says, every time Jesus sent out his disciples, he gave them authority over sickness and over demons. I believe we have that same authority over sickness, over demons. This is what I believe, why Jesus has paid the price on the cross for us, for us to come to that place. But I just want to tell you a little story about the finger of God. Amanda, she's from Standerton. She's about that big, that high. And she's an intercessor, and she prays, and she says God has been speaking to her about the finger of God. And every time she's in prayer, this scripture about the finger of God came to her, and it was basically, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when it comes against you? And she was praying about this, God, what is it meaning? And then this one day, a man came into the shop, and he grabbed a lady's handbag, and he ran out with it. And then she knew in her spirit that this is what God has been speaking to her. And she ran out, and she said to him, by the finger of God, I command you to stop in the name of Jesus. And this man ran into a wall, and he fell on his back. And he looked up, and he didn't know where he was. And he looked at her, he dropped her handbag, and he ran away. And it was amazing if you know Amanda, because she's very, very small. But she walks in authority what God had called her for. But then, here it says, if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. So, a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. And I believe this is what God has called us for. A strong man to guard our own palace, to guard where we are, so that our goods can be safe. And I don't believe this is only for men, but I believe it's for men, for women, for children, for all of us to come to guard our own place, so that our goods can be safe. Then verse 22 says, "But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him and or conquers him, he takes away his armor. He takes away his protection in which he trusted." Because we trust in our protection, in our armor to protect us. "And he divides his spoil." So the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take our stuff away from us. So, and then Jesus says, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. So there is a, now Jesus is just talking about if there's a strong man, he must stand, otherwise he will be overcome. So we either overcome or we be overcame. Then an unclean spirit, then Jesus says when an unclean spirit is expelled from a person, he will go around seeking a place to go. If he doesn't find anything, he will come back. And if he sees there's nothing here, he will go back and find seven worse ones, and they will come back. And that person will be worse off than what he was previously. And what I just see with this is that God wants us to overcome, so that we don't open ourselves to be worse off because we get slack in the kingdom of God. That we say, I gave my heart to the Lord 10 years ago, I'm okay. But you actually open yourself up to become worse than what you were before that time. But for me, now we all go, but here in Ephesians 6, for me is what is so crucial that God says we must be strong in the Lord. He says, Ephesians 6 says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. We have been called, all of us, to be strong in the Lord. That we know we are weak, but God is strong. His grace is sufficient for us. It's in God where our protection is. It's not in who we are. And he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So, with what I'm just seeing here, the whole armor, it's not one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom, it's everything. We must put on everything that there is from God, that we can be able to stand. And I've been looking at Mike Tyson when he was 19 years old, how he came to fame. And when he was fighting, his stance was so strong, and how he would use his legs to punch. And it just one punch, and the guy was knocked out because he stood. He had strong legs, and it took him like one or two big punches to knock a guy out. But he was standing, and I believe we as Christians have been called to stand, that we are able to stand. Then verse 12 says, we do not wrestle. And many of us believe that is where the full stop should be. We do not wrestle. But that's not the truth. It says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers, over this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So we wrestle against rulers, authorities, powers, spiritual forces. So what we can see from this is that Satan has a hierarchy, very powerful. And we wrestle against that. And wrestling is tough because you get very tired, because it happens all the time. It's not that, you know, like boxing, you give one punch and you stand back. You are in there, you're getting twisted in all areas, and sometimes it feels to us like, as believers, like that. But God has told us to stand in His authority. He told us to stand in what He has called us for. And then He says, therefore, because we wrestle against them, therefore, take up your whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. So God is calling us to stand firm. Then verse 14 says, stand therefore. Once again, God saying, we must stand. Doesn't matter what comes against us, we must stand. And now He says, this is what the armor is about. And the first one, the belt, don't listen to belt so much, but truth. That we believe the truth. This is the word of God. And when this guy came to me and he said he's reading all those books, this is what he was missing in his whole armor. This is why things were falling apart around him, because he didn't stand on the truth. The belt of truth wasn't around his girdle. And the thing about this belt is, if you had to go into warfare, you would take your clothes, your robe, and you would put your belt over it so that you can move with your legs. But your sword was, you could tuck in your sword, oh, not your sword, your shield into the belt. You can hang your sword from the belt as well. Even if you take your helmet out, you could tuck it into your armor. Your breastplate was rested on the belt. So everything is held together because of the truth of what we believe. And we have to allow God to renew our minds, that we, our thoughts and our thought patterns become more like what God intended. And we can only do this by spending time in the Word of God and not listening to what other people say about the Word, but ourselves spend time in the Word and learn and study the Word of God, that we can stand, that we can have our whole armor put on. Then the breastplate of righteousness, that because we are believers, we know we are righteous before God. We have the same right as the Lord Jesus Christ to stand before God. Isn't that amazing? And we get accused many times, you're not good enough. But that's not what the Bible says. Because we believe, we have the same right to stand before God. And this guards our heart, that we can know that I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. I have the right to come before God with anything that I want. I can come before Him and God will accept me. He will wait. He will want to speak to me because I am His child. I am righteous before God. And the whole thing about that we are justified by God, it means that we have been declared sinless. When we are justified by God because we believe, it means we have been declared sinless. Yes, there might still be sin, but God has declared me sinless. He says there's no sin in that person. Then the shoes to bring the gospel of peace. That's part of the testimony. We bring the Word of God. We tell people about who Christ is. The shield of faith, that we believe. We believe in the promises of God. We live by faith and not by sight, knowing that God seeks people with faith. He rewards those who diligently seek Him. If we don't have faith, we cannot please God. That we grow our faith. And once again, this is just for me. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. That we come to church, that we pray, that we speak, the Word of God, because that builds our faith. Also to extend ourselves and to put ourselves in positions where we can grow our faith. Because that, when the flaming darts comes, that will extinguish that. And then the helmet of salvation. And this is where the battle is. It's in our mind. Because you have these thoughts telling you, you are not good enough. You're not going to make it. Look what you've done. Do you know where you come from? Do you know what you've done? You have those thoughts. And we must understand that the evil one wants to place thoughts in your mind to tell you that you are not good enough. And those thoughts aren't you. That comes from the devil. We must allow God to renew our minds. And the Bible says we must take authority. We must take captive every thought into the obedience of Christ so that the strongholds in our minds can be broken down. So if you believe, I'm too thin, then God says to you, you are my child. There's so many things that we believe about ourselves that the devil does there to prevent us not from coming into the fullness of what we have been called for. You know, every time before we beat someone to death, it started with a thought. And we must learn to maintain and to bring those thoughts before God before it ever comes to action. So this is where the battlefield is, where all the things happen is here. And there again, this is why we must allow God to renew our mind, to renew the thought patterns in our mind that we can become more to what God had called us to be. Then verse 18, and that comes from last week's sermon, our house will be a house of prayer. But it says, praying at all times. Praying at all times. We've been called to pray. As a church, as believers, God has called us to pray. In cell groups, I believe God is saying to us at this time, now's the time that my people must pray. That we must humble ourselves and that we must seek His face. He says, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for the saints. Revelation 21 says, the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. The one who conquers, the one who overcomes, will have this heritage. But then there's this but. So if we don't overcome, there's this but that I'm seeing. This is how I'm interpreting. But for the cowardly. So if you don't want to overcome, I don't want to overcome because I'm a coward. Or the faithless, I don't believe this. I don't think it's for me. the detestable and for the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars. Their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. So what I'm just seeing, God has called us to overcome. And, you know, when I'm going to, that facing the giants in our lives are things like fear. It's maybe depression. It could be sickness. It could be cancers. It could be I'm not going to make it. It could be family problems. It could be addictions. Addiction to pornography. Addiction to cigarettes. Addiction to alcohol, to drugs. Addiction to sex. It could be any addiction. But those addictions are giants that keep us from coming into the promises of God. Offenses. Because of unforgiveness, we just cannot forgive that person. And we have bitterness in our heart. But I believe those are giants that we have to overcome. There are anger. I realized myself, I had a spirit of anger. Just the one moment I would be like this, and the next moment I just lose it like that. And I had to bring it before God, and I really prayed, and I really was seeking God's face to just get rid of that thing. And I don't know, many of the men, I think many of us have that. We come to a place, and then the next moment we just go, and you just lose it completely. You don't even see anything in front of you anymore. That's not what God has called us to be. I really believe we are not meant to be like that. And the first person we come down to is on our families. That's things that we have to overcome. I really believe God is saying to us, we must overcome these things that's standing between us and Him. The sins where we are missing the mark. Now you probably think, oh, I'm going to hell. That's not what I'm saying. How do we overcome? How do we overcome? How do we overcome these things? 1 John 2 verse 14 says, I write to you fathers because you know Him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the evil one. We overcome in God. We overcome by abiding in the word. We overcome by coming to Christ. We overcome by being born again and allowing God to do the work in us, to become hearers of the word by denying ourselves and by following God, to coming to Christ. We overcome. Become doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. This is that place that I really believe God has called us to where the word of God abides in us. And this is why it's so important for me that we read the word all the time, that we can be renewed by His word. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And for us in the West, the world and the kingdom. And it's the world and it's the kingdom. And then it's like this. But we're not called here. We are called in the kingdom. We cannot love the things of the world. We have to deny those things to want to follow God so that His life can abide in us. Then verse 17 says, and the world is passing away with all its desires. When we die, you cannot take anything with you. Everything that you work for your whole life stays right here. People will inherit it, and they will probably fight over the inheritance. But you have nothing. You just stand before God. And then you'll have to give an account, like me, and all of us will have to give an account of what happened here on this earth. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. Whoever does the will of God abides forever. And this is where we overcome, is to do the will of God. 1 John 5 verse 3 and 4 says, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. His commandments are burdensome. So God's commandments is burdensome. If we say we love God, we will do His commandments. And many people come to me and they say, yes, but it's the love of God. The love of God is to keep His commandments. For everyone who has been born of God, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. So if you've been born of God, you've overcome the world. And this is our victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Because of our faith, we've overcome the world. But I'm seeing there is a place that we cannot live, one side in the world and one side in the kingdom, because then you don't walk by faith. You've not walked. The word of God doesn't abide in you. You're not completely surrendered to that place. And I really want to encourage everybody, and this is a challenge for myself, to come to that place where I completely surrender and leave the world behind to live into the purposes of God. Revelation 2 verse 26 says, "The one who conquers and who keeps my works until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations." The one who conquers, the one who overcomes. In Revelation, they thought there are these seven churches that God, that Jesus is giving prophecies over. All of them, he says, the one who overcomes, the one who conquers. We have been called to conquer. We cannot live with stuff that is standing between us and God. God called us to overcome, to conquer those things. And the 1 and 26 says, "And keep my works to the end." Because I see it a lot. People start very on a high note, and then they, like 2 years afterwards, they fall and they say, "No, we must get married and we must have children, and we're not going, we cannot do this anymore. We've done our bit when I was a student," and now they stand back. But the word here, it says, "We keep my works to the end." And that scripture in Hebrews 12 that says that we must stay focused and run the race of endurance, keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's an endurance race that we keep to the end. And when we stand at the end, God says, "My, well done, my good and faithful servant." So this is a place of enduring to the end. We cannot say, "Look, when I was 12 years old, I led 10 people to the Lord. I've done my bit." It's to keep to the end. And I really believe God, in every circumstance, things will happen where we have to conquer, where we have to overcome challenges in us to come to that place that God has called us for. And, you know, for us, that we take hold of eternal life. And this is where I just want to encourage everyone to have a prayer life of themselves, to spend time in the Word, just to worship. And this is why we're having announcements in the beginning, that we can spend more time into worshiping, into praising, into coming into that place of God, that we can fight the good fight of faith, that we can focus on the goodness of God and the good things of God, so that in the day of evil, when it comes against you, that you're able to stand because you know who God is and you are fully armed in the promises of what God has given us. And just something on a little spiritual note, I want to focus on God, but there is something that I know is prevalent. And sometimes where spiritual beings work together, Derek Prince said it to me, and when he said it, I just knew, this is what I had to hear from listening to all of these things. When there's a spirit of rebellion, when there's rebellion, he says witchcraft will always follow. And I was part of rebellion when I was here in school. We were wild, and I said to Lynette, I was proud of being rebellious. I loved the fact that I'm rebellious. And I always used to say, "Live hard, die young, and have a good looking corpse." I used to speak that over myself. Can you imagine that? But doing wild things, I was proud of that. But now I see over the years, and all my friends were very rebellious. There are witchcraft in this area. And witchcraft manifests in people. They're not necessarily witches or warlocks, but Christian people like us can be influenced by this thing. And when you want to dominate another person, it could be a spirit of witchcraft that is operating through you. And you'll see a woman will manipulate. They would go like, "If you don't do this, I'm not going to come to your church anymore. If you don't change that, I'm out of here." That's manipulation. Or husband, you know that big one that the wives can use against us. They have the ultimate tool to manipulate men. But then on the other side, intimidation. Us men is. But men can also manipulate, and women can also intimidate, but it's to dominate over people. And we must be very careful, even in our prayers, that we pray for people that we don't want to manipulate them, or we don't want to intimidate them. We must pray the goodness of God. We must pray that they be blessed, that they come to the fullness of what God has called us for, that we don't allow the devil in our midst to speak against one another so that people can be so that people are under the influence of this witchcraft. Do you understand? So I think for all of us, the more we speak, I'm just coming to a place where I don't want to talk anymore because I realize my little tree is evil. And before this is not cleansed, I don't want to speak because the fruit is a manifestation of the tree. And if this is evil, the words that you speak will be evil. So when there's gossip, when we talk about other people, and us as believers, this is how we gossip. Have you heard what happened to Brother Kurt? Let's pray for him. That's gossip. We keep it to ourselves. We just pray for Brother Kurt until we feel that we have to speak to him. That we don't use praise and stuff to speak and to gossip around people. Because we can really hurt one another with the words that we speak. Also, the one, just being critical. The Bible says a critical spirit. That, yes, can you see that? There's only one screen. Yes, I can't believe there's just one screen. You know, there's just one screen. Can you believe it? Did you see? There's only one screen. It's a critical spirit. Instead of praying, God, there's one screen. Maybe something went wrong. How can I be a blessing to them? And come, look, I see there's only one scream. Do you need some help? There's an attitude of the heart that I believe must change, that we don't criticize one another or accuse one another, because that's the devil's job. We are called to love one another, to come into that place of unity. And I believe we are called to overcome. To overcome. If there's anger in you, it can be a spirit of anger. And I just want to say how this works. You drive from work and there's traffic and you get worked up and then a guy cuts in front of you and then someone walks in front of you and almost hit him and then you get very close to your home and then you lose it and you scream. And at that moment you can open yourself up. It's not always that it happens like that, but a demon can enter in you and you look differently at your wife from that day of onwards. And there's a demon in you and you have to take authority over it and cast it out. We all have that authority. Or you walk for the rest of your life with this anger problem and your wife wants to divorce you because there's this anger in you. For all of us, or fear. Fear is one of those things as well. I believe God has called us to overcome fear. And it could be that it's not always like that, but it could be that it's a spiritual thing that we have to take authority over and to cast it out, that we can come to the fullness of God. I just want to pray for us. Our Father, we don't want to focus on evil, but we want to overcome evil by good, Lord. And Father, as we just come together with you now, Lord, we just want to release, God, all stuff, God, that's been standing between us and you. Lord, we don't want, Lord God, to prevent it from being overcomers in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, for every person who is here, Lord God, if there's anything in your heart now that you know shouldn't be there, that you just give it to the Lord. Say, God, maybe it's anger. God, I repent of anger. Maybe if there's in your life that you're struggling with lust or you're struggling with pornography, just say to God, God, I renounce pornography. I renounce lust in the name of Jesus. I don't want anything to do with that anymore. Maybe you are addicted to smoking and just come to God and say, God, I renounce tobacco in the name of Jesus. I renounce it. I cannot stop smoking. I know there's something there, but I renounce it now in the name of Jesus. Maybe there's fear in your heart and just say, Lord, I have fear. I'm afraid. But the Bible says perfect love overcomes all fear. That if there's fear, the love of God cannot be in us. That we just renounce and say, God, forgive me for fear. Forgive me for this, Lord God. Take this away from me. I surrender this completely to you in the name of Jesus. If there's anything in you that you know is preventing you from walking in the fullness, maybe it's even religion, that there's a religion, a form of godliness, but you deny the power, that when we say pray, that your spirit isn't open to connect with the Spirit of God, you start praying, you're struggling to read the Word of God, you can't worship, you want to stand with your hands next to your hips like this, and you can't even push up your hands. God wants to release you of those things that's withholding you from coming into the fullness of Christ Jesus. Because He loves you and He wants all people to come to Him. God says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Come to me. I will give you perfect life. Lord God, even though we go through suffering and we go through pain, Lord God, we know if we join in your suffering, we will also share in your glory, Lord God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that every person who is here now will come into the fullness of what you have called us for. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I just want you, I just want to give you the opportunity to, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know you have to surrender yourself to Him. You have to come to Him, and you don't know how to do it, but you want to know Christ. If there's anyone like that, and you just want, just put up your hand and I can pray for you. I will gently call you forward later that no one knows you, that you're not exposed. I don't want to expose you, but if there's anyone here that want to surrender to Christ, I just want to see who you are that I can pray for you. If everyone can just keep their eyes closed. Is there anyone like that here this morning? As jy jou kop krap, dan denk ek jy is een. Thank you. Then, as we're just going to just stand, I just want to ask everyone to stand. And I just want to speak a blessing over you, that God will bless you, that God will be with you, that God will protect you in the name of Jesus. And I pray the blessings of God over your life, and that good things will come in all of our lives in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that every believer will be overcomers, will conquer in the name of Jesus. And God, thank you for great faith, Lord. And I pray that you'll increase our faith, Lord, to walk in that place that you have called us for, in the name of Jesus. Amen. May God bless you. If you want prayer, maybe there's something here in you and you know, I feel uncomfortable and you need prayer, please come forward. Don't walk out, and don't come to me afterwards, because God's presence is here now. If you go afterwards, I'm not going to pray, I'm going to drink coffee. For the rest of you, go and have some coffee. If you need prayer, maybe even healing, please come, that we pray for you now. And we'll see you next week again. May God bless you.